Jimmy.
Blog Talk
yeah.
Radio.
We are live now. Hey, guys, Green Living guys. Sorry about that. A little late to the... I had a phone call I had to take, but we are here with the man, Remy Chevalier, from Rock the Reactors. So we will be talking about a lot of things because Remy's been around the block many times, so there's many things he's been involved with, but let's start with Rock the Reactors.
Rock the Reactors. Well, you were there, so you know.
Well,
we kind of
start
like
first.
Started that thing together.
Well, all you did was ask me to come over to take a trip with a woman to do a photo because you want to get the other side of Indian Point. You want Indian Point in the background. I said, okay,
yeah, I wanted Indian
sure.
Point in the background. Well, the point is that we wanted to bring attention to an issue that nobody at the time was really thinking or doing anything about. It kind of like just started to get really, really dormant. 9/11, I think a lot of people freaked out along the Hudson Valley when they realized that the hijackers had actually had in their plans to slam into Indian Point, but instead decided to keep going and hit the Twin Towers. So they created a coalition called IPSEC. And I think after a few years, when you know the imminent threat of another terrorist hijacked plane attack, people went back to sleep a little bit. And then slowly the NRC, which is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, started going through the process of relicensing a lot of old reactors around the country. And by the time they got to Indian Point, there wasn't really much activity on the part of organizations like IPSEC or Clearwater or River Keeper to really, you know, fight the relicensing.
Do you think they're really not?
Well, there wasn't at the time.
Oh, at the time. Okay.
No, at the time there wasn't. That started back in 2006 when we discovered that the plant was up for its relicensing. So that's when I hooked up with Sherwood because I found out he was right there in Peekskill and he'd also been writing.
Sherwood
Martinelli, which you interviewed
right.
A few days ago.
Right.
So he and I started, doing a lot of research. We created a blog called Green Nuclear Butterfly, and started.
Is it .com?
Yeah, you can get there by greennuclearbutterfly.com. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll take you to the blog.
Yeah.
And he started writing contentions and petitions of rulemaking. These are things that he already knew how to do. There's a legal process by which you can object to things that the nuclear power industry are doing.
There's a form.
Yes, there's like legal forms, and he started basically cranking these things out.
No, it's not a legal form. Well, it is. I mean,
it's a legal
binding.
Process.
It's legally binding, but it's a government form.
It's a form, but you still have to put it together. I mean,
right.
And we're looking for help, I think finally there was a subcommittee of IPSEC that was created. And IPSEC is it's the Indian Point Coalition of all the member organizations. They're mostly environmental organizations along the Hudson Valley,
okay.
Which want to see Indian Point shut down. So if you go to the IPSEC website, they're all listed there.
IPSEC.com or .org?
Good God, they changed it recently. If you go IPSEC in Google, they'll take you straight there.
Okay, all right.
From there, we created an organization called Fuse USA, and that got into the New York Times because a lot of the stuff that Sherwood was writing was getting further along into getting the attention of the NRC than anything previous.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people
okay.
wanted to copy what it was that was being done, and a lot of Sherwood's work was then refiled under different forms by other organizations that are members of IPSEC, like WESCAN and Riverkeeper and et cetera.
But they should be. I mean, the more the merrier, right?
The more the merrier. There was 158 total. And then Sherwood called one of the NRC judges a prick. And so he got bounced from the process because I guess, legally you can't insult anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So He didn't keep us cool. I mean, he had, I'm sure.
Well, in a legally in a legal process, you can't do that.
Well,
yeah.
So
yeah.
And so it's like everybody ran in the other direction, but that was kind of interesting. But everything got thrown out. Basically, the NRC found reasons to exclude everything, and every time there was an exception to the rule and this and that. And I think there's only like two or three contentions that are left that are binding. I think one is filed by Riverkeeper about the cooling pipes, you know, the millions of fish that are getting pulverized by going through the cooling system. And I think the other one is about the wiring. There's emergency wiring, which is not up to standards.
Could other people write contentions?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody that lives, I think, within a 50-mile radius of the nuclear power plant can write one of these documents and file it. And the NRC legally has to basically reply to you and take it into consideration.
So where would somebody go for this information?
Sherwood.
No, but I mean, wouldn't it be on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission website?
Yes, there's a page somewhere where. No, actually, not. I don't think so. I think you have to do the document from scratch, which means that you could probably take one of Sherwood's PDF files and
well,
sort
where
of
are they?
Rewrite. Well, yeah, ask Sherwood. They're all the contentions, the 158 that were filed, are all on the NRC website somewhere. I'd have to do a search to find out where. A couple of other people know where they are. I think we posted the links on the Green Nuclear Butterfly blog about a year or a year and a half ago. If anybody wants to know, they can just call me and I'll find it for them. But the point we're trying to make here is that while all this is going on, in the state of New York, the only people that have the authority to shut down a nuke is the NRC. Whereby in Vermont, because of, you know, some twist of fate and because the law was different up there, the legislature actually has this authority. And so last week, the Vermont legislature, because mm-hmm. of all the leaks and all the problems at their nuclear power plant just outside Brattleboro, voted by an overwhelming majority of 26-4 to not renew Entergy's license to operate the Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant. And this has turned the tide, literally, in the process, because up until now the NRC had been going along willy-nilly, completely without any resistance, rubber stamping new licenses for these old nuclear power plants, and half of them are leaking. We know this. The problems are there, and it's woken a lot of people up. Also because the president during his State of the Union address announced
shot the
that he was,
what.
Huh? Right.
What?
Right. You know, like a $58 billion loan guarantee, which is basically just a bailout for the industry. Because you can produce electricity now cheaper with solar wind and geothermal.
Obama is no longer Obama to me. You know what he is?
What he is?
Richard.
Richard? Why?
Dick. His other name is Dick.
What? Nick? Like Nixon? No.
No, it's like Dick.
Yeah.
He's a dick for saying it.
You think? I don't know. So a lot of people still like Obama. They just don't like his stance on nuclear.
On the environment. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
That was one of the main reasons they voted for him.
Well, yeah, but that's because they weren't looking a gift horse in the mouth, and those of us who did knew that Exelon, which is the nuclear utility around Chicago, basically invested a huge amount of money in his campaign. So now I guess he owes them. And so that's his way of repaying, you know, some debts. You know, he's only been in the White House a year, so
he's done a lot of help.
Well,
Eric said what? No, I'm kidding.
Anyway,
He's done his best. I given the situation that he was put into, but
no. But anyway, let's not use up all our time here, just like basically bitch slapping poor Obama.
No, let's not do that.
No,
I'm looking actually at.
Let's look at rock the reactors again.
Come back.
We got a party. Parties are always good, and there hasn't been a big party in New York to protest the nuclear issue in a long, long time. And the young people are waking up; they want something. So, we found a beautiful ballroom in New York called Hero, which is inside the Maritime Center off of 9th Avenue. And we booked it for July 14th. And we're going to have, musicians, speakers, and also light emitting diode companies are going to come and set up their stuff so we can show people how we can so easily reduce electrical consumption. If this entire country switched over to LEDs, we'd reduce electrical consumption by 20% in the space of just 3 or 4 years, which is in the process of happening.
When we went over the Indian Point, you guys asked me, what can be done? And Betsy and I said, we've got to be much more energy efficient across the board to the point where we just don't need it.
These things become an unnecessary risk. But there are still people working there, and these people need jobs. You have electricians.
Yeah, and they should get into green jobs.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't want them to not at any time lose
One of the co-founders of Rockter Reactors is, in fact, a guy that used to work at Indian Point. He was an underwater welder. And he since has been building solar awnings. He switched over.
Yeah.
So these guys,
they have to want to
retrain. They have to want to walk away and decide that they're going to do something else. But there are unions, the Boilermaker Union and the Electrical Union, the Carpenters Union, are not going to help these guys retrain into another trade. So you're looking at about 1,200 guys at Indian Point who are all fighting for their jobs. And that's really what's keeping the plant open.
Is that your opinion on it? That's what you think? Or that's what you know?
Give me another reason. Give me another good reason, except, the money that obviously all the bosses are making. They're making like $2 million a day selling electricity out of that plant.
Mm-hmm. So it's the most, I guess, cost-effective right now. Cost-effective
to who? Cost-effective to who? Do you realize that billions of dollars is going to cost to decommission that plant? Who's going to pay for that?
That's why they don't want to decommission.
Not them. They don't have any money left because the decommissioning fund basically got wiped out because they played the stock market with it.
Ouch. Was that Enron?
That's Entergy.
No, Entergy invested in Enron? No.
I don't know who they invested in, but they lost the money, which was with their argument up in Vermont, is that they had to keep the Vermont plant going so that they could keep making money, so that they could put the money back into the decommissioning fund.
Gotcha. I see.
Like there's got to be any left anyway by the time that gets finished,
Right.
Sure, right.
It's like that movie Office Space. Right. If anybody's seen that, they know what I'm talking about. Did you get the memo?
So, anyway,
The party.
July 14th. We need
July
help. 14th. We need leg work. We can send
July
people 14th. Handouts. They can put them all over the city. We've asked a lot of musicians to come and play and people to come and speak.
Well, yeah, the whole thing about, which I'll add to this web page on the Blog Talk Radio Show.
I know, you've listed all this stuff about...
It's like green lighting, the book I'm doing with Brian.
Yeah, you should... I don't know what you did on the website, but you got like the entire front page of my website on the... Can you delete that and just put something specific on what we got going on here?
Okay, sure. I didn't know what you wanted.
Not that.
All right, buddy. I'm working on it. Here we go.
Yeah, but exactly. Tell us about your book, because your book is going to play a big part in the party, because
right.
your book is a book about green lighting and a lot about light-emitting diodes, and so it's almost going to be, if not a book launch, it's going to be a celebration
a
of the book.
It's a book launch to me. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
The book might be out before the party.
Well, we'll see. You never know. One never knows what one might do.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking good. Brian's the man.
Well, now he is, yeah.
Brian, well, he's
well, how many you got three co-authors on that book?
Three.
It better be a
better
jam
be a smashing book
full
or
of information.
Start cracking skulls, right, yeah.
Yeah, the definitive book on LED design, huh?
On LED, what is this?
Design.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
What else is going on
what
with me?
What else is going on?
With
I don't know,
me?
With me, with you?
Well, with you.
You're supposed to be interviewing
to
me.
I'm curious as to what people can do to help the cause.
Oh, well.
I mean, instead of just talking about it, what can people that are listening do right now, today? Not tomorrow, but today.
They can write their own stuff and bug the NRC. They can help promote.
As simple as really writing a letter, maybe.
Oh yeah, if it's written a certain way.
I'm curious. If a person writes like in the Queen's English, I mean,
it has to be written a certain way, according to a certain form. I mean, it's sure they make it so difficult and impossible to discourage the process. There's no doubt about it. But if you went through and had the patience to basically plounder through all this stuff and do it right. Then they got no excuse, and you know, hats off, and my congrats to Sherwood for having had the patience to do this, because he brought it to the next level. He really, in my opinion, united the Northeast in terms of the opposition of the relicensing effort. And you know, we need to keep, especially now that we've got Vermont Yankee, you know, down for the count. We just have to step up the pressure, and there's people in New York now that are waking up to all of this. We need to get it to the press. I mean, the best thing people can do is write, you know, their reps and their newspapers. You know, if we could get this on the cover of the New York Post, or the Village Voice, or something like this, so we can at least get the debate out there, so people can discuss what the issues are.
Yeah. I think that's a good start. Do you have people across the country calling you about this?
Yeah, all the time. It's become a national network because there's 104 reactors in this country, and there's literally little
and what is Obama
groups of people everywhere trying to get to shut them down on a local level.
And what does Obama want to do? How many?
Obama wants to build more of them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, it's great, but that's like, you know, it's certainly not the long view, and it's pawning off a problem of untold proportions to future generations. It's a really, really sad thing. You know, talk to any Native American, you know, who's been in a community where there's been uranium mining, and find out what the truth is about this stuff. But there's just too many people making too much money.
You think that's what it is?
You don't think so?
I'm asking you.
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a motivation factor for this, other than sheer stupidity.
For anyone to do anything, that's a definite.
Yeah, it's short-term gain. You know, they're going to make money for the first few years, and they pocket the profit, and then they leave the mess for everybody else to deal with. That's what happened. I mean, in the 50s, they built all these plants in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and now, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's a whole new generation that's stuck with the problem of decommissioning and the waste and everything else that goes along with it. They pawned it off to the next generation.
Yeah, and I don't want to give it to my kids.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's... We need to find it's a media war. I mean, right now on Twitter, you know, it's literally practically 10 to 1 pro-nuclear, because the nuclear industry is spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on promoting nuclear as clean and green and the solution to global warming. And it's hard to keep up with this, because the people fighting it are doing this out of nonprofit and volunteer organizations, because there's no, you know, so we need the help and the backup of companies that benefit from, you know, the demise of nuclear power, and that's solar and wind, geothermal, LED, and these companies are slowly but surely now starting.
Well, Obama's
to come.
Slowly getting on it. He's at least talking about energy efficiency for starters. You know.
Yeah.
Well,
give him he's certainly
jumped
triggered.
The shark, in my opinion, when it comes to that by. Looking square in the eye of that camera and saying it the way he did is just like a shot, almost like a shot across the bow in some respects. It's like,
but he triggered it. I mean, if he hadn't said anything, if he had just gotten this loan guarantee quietly, you know, but he made a big deal out of it at the State of the Union. And then a week later, Vermont's legislature decides to shut down their plant. And so it created it instantly polarized the issue all over the country.
Which is, something,
great.
Yeah, right, which is something he thought, yeah.
And now young people are starting to say, hey, wait a minute here. You know, they've been out there fighting coal because we've been told that coal is like the worst possible thing for climate change. But if you look at the problems of nuclear power, if you really start to analyze them, and you have an epiphany about this stuff, that's what happens ultimately. People have an epiphany about this stuff. And they go, oh, shit. And So who's out there doing something? And yet there are a lot of people. There's a lot of organizations. There's NEARS, there's Beyond Nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, Greenpeace has been doing stuff forever. And
okay.
And so people are coming back together around the issue, and celebrities and actors and businessmen and people who have an interest in the demise of nukes. The people who have an interest in the demise of nukes are people that are making alternatives, are making clean, renewable, sustainable alternatives. And,
yeah, I think people that though are going green or doing sustainability are doing it for the sake of going green rather than shutting down nuclear. And I think your energy definitely gets people thinking about it in a different, you know, in a different way. And I think that people
the roots of the environmental
one person might be,
yeah.
You know, if you educate one person, that's what they say. So
well, if they go back and study history, the roots of the environmental movement are in the anti-nuclear movement. They wouldn't be solar and wind companies if those companies hadn't come out of a grassroots effort that was there to resist nuclear power plants from getting built. And after the No Nukes concert series, and after Chernobyl, and after Three Mile Island, they stopped building new ones, and the movement kind of died away and stopped protesting the ones that were already built, and everybody went home.
All right.
So,
well, I hate to be cutting this off, but we got 11 seconds left. RocktheReactors.org or RemyC.com?
No, it's not. It's .com.
Oh, rocktheReactors.com, ladies
yep,
and gentlemen. RocktheReactors.com.
Go check it out. Then click lots of links and get introduced to the whole community and, join the fight. It's fun.
Green Living Guys saying out.
Take care.